Putting things. Only Venus, only Mercury, as far as we know, don't have them moons. I wish I had a hot buttered rum martini right now. Oh, well, this is plenty entertaining.
How about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Hey, I remember those. That was pretty good. Nice primitive animation, vigorous, you know, and of course you wait. You wait for the punch to come. How about a nice Hawaiian punch? It actually made people buy it. I got some Lay's potato chips the other night on the way to KPFA, and they were the exact same formula that they were in 1952. And do you remember the commercials that had Bert Lahr in them? The guy who was the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. You know, he's there and he's sitting on a stool and there's this little kid, this little girl in a flouncy dress sitting there and said, I bet you can only eat, you can't just eat just one potato chip. And he says, nonsense, you know. And he eats a potato chip and crunches it up and it's focusing on his face. He says, I believe I'll have another. So, I said just one. You know. So you can imagine his consternation and rage as he reaches and snatches the bag of Lay's potato chips. The noisiest potato chips in the world. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
He took my potato.
Is that where you just can't have one came from?
Yes. That was a successful ad campaign of that time. You just can't eat just one. I don't know if they copied it. I think it was copied, as a matter of fact, for a lot of junk food.
Yeah.
I thought of something funny to put in a comic strip. You know, Scott Wiener and all these guys are always talking about how terrible it is that people eat all this bad food, you know. They don't have access to fresh broccoli, you know. They live in a food desert. And it's true, I'd give anything for some fresh broccoli, but my schedule keeps me from being able to go out and buy it during non-business hours. Anyway, food desert, right? So in the comic strip, you have a thing that looks like a 7-Eleven, you know, and the action takes place in the parking lot. Only instead of 7-Eleven, it says food desert, you know, and there are these fake cactuses and things, you know, and people streaming in, you know, coming out with microwave burritos. And
right.
In fact, that might be people might go to it.
Don't you think? Try our hot wings.
Yes, have it be all that stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you think that might make a bundle?
Sure, yeah. Food desert.
Especially in today's unregulated environment.
But it'd be also a fulfillment center for people ordering it online and having their stuff delivered, you know.
Well, after St. Stephen,
like on the app or whatever.
We went to Red's Java House.
Oh,
had
cool.
Fish and chips, homemade coleslaw. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Sat there, watched the rain hit the water instead of us, like it did all through the parade. And
I woke up around 4 o'clock that night.
Oh, well, you know, it starts at noon.
I know, but I woke up.
No, it's you, and that means you have to get up before noon. Outrageous, and go all the way down there to the train.
But it was raining on you?
Like yeah, it sprinkled, and the sprinkling turned harder and harder, and the raindrops did upon mine head gefallen. For a while, I rode on the doggy diner thing, but the dog's nose was kind of in my sight lines, and the whole purpose of being in the parade is to be seen, like the No Kings March a few days earlier, to show your body there that you are one of the adherents of the First Church of the Last Laugh. And it was a pretty good crowd.
Is the route the same? Every
Always,
yeah.
Except on the weekend when the route changes and takes us up to Washington Square Park.
Okay.
For years we were not allowed to go to Washington Square Park, and I think now nobody gives a damn, so we can go to Washington Square Park.
It was made for like a weekend only thing.
On the weekend, we meet at the Transamerica Pyramid, just sold, the entire building sold to AI concerns. You meet at the pointy building where St. Stupid's pointy head is at the very top, or maybe Zippy the Pinhead, you know, at the very top with the point stuck in there. And then you take off on a different route, but the seven stations of stupidity are still there. Gotcha. You end up going up Columbus, past City Lights books and everything, to Washington Square Park, the park with the statue of Benjamin Franklin in it. And before that, they were saying, no, you can't go there. It deeply offends the Catholic diocese that you are mocking religion in front of their church. And what do you know? There is a Catholic church over there. Who thought that this Archbishop Salvatore, had such power? But he does. And rather than make him mad, the city shunts St. Stupid off to some horrible thing called the Joe DiMaggio Playground, which is this giant concrete pit. No vegetation. You know, you march into that down an enormous ramp. You know, there's no shade. The heat is blasting at you from the walls, the floor, and so on. Some people can stand behind the rail up above. But we had all our skits and performances and things like that. Actually, if you get over and just lean against the wall, there's just enough shade to cover you. But the hell with that. Washington Square Park is great. You get old guys playing the Chinese fiddle and all sorts of people having fun lying on the grass and the rumbustious St. Stupid stuff also happening. Ken Kesey was there once and I introduced him. And we did have Wavy Gravy again this time, 106-year-old guy.
Is that how old he is, really? 106?
He's pretty old. He's last time a group of men had to lift him up onto the doggy diner afloat, but this time I think he was just in a rolling wheelchair with a friend to help him, and that's probably, I mean, it's hard to get him up there. Oh, they had built a special throne for him, and it had an umbrella, but he stayed, I think, in the chair. But it's hard for me to know what's going on. That walk is difficult for these old bones. I was able to keep an eye on something, so. And Travis, you know, Ed's daughter's son is the guy who inherits the entire thing. And he puts the whole Megillah in magnum motion. He's able, even at age 12, he was able to lead the parade, to make jokes to the crowd, to be comfortable, you know, at the stock exchange, or as we call it, the sock exchange, where we get in front of the Pacific Stock Exchange and throw socks and so forth. It's all old, all stale. It's been there hundreds of times. Everybody's old. This is the 47th year. That means in 3 years, if we're still kicking, the giant 50-year thing, celebration, that might be a good time to cut it off. But why cut it off? If there's a rising generation, all these cute babes with exposed midriffs were jumping around, you know, chanting the St. Stupid stuff. They're friends of young and charismatic Travis Holmes, I guess his name is Holmes. Jenny Holmes, is her name Holmes? And Travis is also Holmes. The third generation of Holmes.
Yeah, Jennifer.
So, he has started a movement in New York called the Luddites, or Ludd for short.
After Alan Ludden?
No, after a guy in the 18th century who didn't like the fact that the world was becoming mechanical, with mechanical looms and spinning wheels and steam engines, and where the hell are all these things coming from? His name was Ned Ludd, and he led a group of rustics who abjured all technological stuff of the time. Can you see where this is going?
Right.
They call people who object to cell phones and things like that Luddites.
Gotcha.
That's an epithet today. But Travis and his buddies are embracing it. You know, they don't want to resort to the cloud to get their stuff. They want individual copies of it and so forth and so on. I heard some of that when I was in New Orleans. I went to a poetry reading and there people were espousing the same sentiments. But of course, these are just the weirdos who go to poetry readings or care to be a Luddite or a follower of St. Stupid. Yeah. Anyway, that sounds pretty cool. He's not keeping his head in the sand. He'll get notice for that. Recognition. You should be a tumbler when you're a kid. You should kick and have everybody take a look at you. And get used to your being there.
Yeah.
Frequent exposure. Good thing.
The Miley Cyrus method.
Say, I'm sure VJ does want to know about the Relodeo thing.
I haven't heard of a specific lean towards not having it.
Exactamente. We were going to have it anyway, even with Doug gone.
Right.
And we could get a guest and it wouldn't be a crowd.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
We don't have Doug to go pick him up, though.
Right.
So, you know, I will brave the fleas if you will.
Yeah,
I'm the one that they like, really. I taste the best. And that's why, you know, Doug Smith says I go to these X-Day things because I sit and draw all the insects away from him. Yeah, my bread is delicious. It's full of sugars and fats. It's just what a blood-drinking bug wants to drink.
Right.
Unless I were to power load the garlic somehow.
What did a brundlefly do to a Twinkie? He just kind of, like, made an acidic barf.
Well, probably. Is that... I don't recall such a scene. I know he did it to people, but... To
but
a Twinkie,
like,
and that would be...
I think he was demonstrating how does brundlefly eat.
Didn't he know that Hostess Twinkies are not at all like decaying flesh, but made fresh and couldn't... Maybe that would be
like loud
a good
bug, you know?
Comic, yes.
Hulk, we can't get to our Twinkies because the human fly is taking them all for his experiment. Aunt Bertha, what do you have to say about that?
Hulk not able to follow this storyline.
An ungodly manifestation of the devil.
Maybe Hulk and Aunt Bertha could have a team up, you know, just to fight, you know.
But would they really be on the same size? You see, aside, Aunt Bertha is, like, to me, a figure of repression, and that was always the humor of the character.
Right.
And so... with the cartoonists at Dermophilia, I started drawing this Aunt Bertha story. And then Apple, this other cartoonist, in the next panel, Billy's got a knife and he's stabbing Aunt Bertha. Take that, you fascist, blah, 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 blah. Oh, heavens, Billy. Yeah. And the title of the comic is Sin in Billy's Mouth, because Aunt Bertha reaches in and she starts pulling this demon out of Billy's mouth, you know, this horrible demon, and it's stretching, you know, it takes several panels, you know, and then she's yammering at the demon, and Billy is saying, my name is Billy, at the end. But I thought this was great. Now, it made me think, why don't I... You know, they like zines today. Take the Aunt Bertha comics that my brother and I made and reprint them.
Oh, sure.
Maybe put
great.
Some more stuff and see. Now that the Silver Sprocket on Valencia has closed, where do you put zines in to sell? But, we won't let that additional new problem bother us.
Well, what you do is you get existing businesses to have a zine stand, and then you put them in that.
Hey, buddy, I got one word for you. Well, make it snappy, pal. I'm in a hurry here. Just bend an ear. Just listen to this. Well, what? Zines. What? Jeans? What? Sell pants? No. Zines. Those little folded over things that all the kids are going gaga
right.
for?
You put them in, like, ice cream places and, like, boba drink stands. And
yes, well, we might have to arrange little twirl a rack things. But actually, if we did, somebody would grab the twirl a rack and run out of the place with all the zines still attached.
Yeah. Just all these really, like, clean places that just look like websites. You know, they look like websites on the side of the road.
Have you ever been in a Christian bookstore?
You put some zines in there. I think there's one.
I have gone in them looking for chick tracks, you see.
Right.
And they have them in a rotating rack like comics used to be on. You can just pick them out, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it shows how pertinacious they are. Talk about people with idiotic beliefs, but so well illustrated.
Ha ha.
Right. On this night, the goddess Kali crawled up with her forearms and daggers and attacked and blah, blah, blah. This is all a true story, you know. These gods of other religions are actually demons, and they need to be dealt with by bowing and kowtowing to Jesus.
Hope.
Another idea that they could just as well have gotten to John Milton, who wrote about all those demons beating it when Jesus came on the scene.
Jesus on the vibes. He's got a solo here in a minute.
They are terrified of the rays shooting out of baby Jesus' eyes that come all the way from Bethlehem and scorch them and drive them away. Even the fairies all have to leave. And sullen Moloch fled, hath left in shadows dread his burning idol all of blackest hue. In vain with cymbal ring they call the grisly king in dismal dance about the furnace blue. The brutish gods of Nile, as fast, Isis and Horus and the dog Anubis haste. They feel from Judah's land the dreaded infant's hand. The rays of Bethlehem blind their dusky eyne. Nor other gods beside also dare abide. Not Typhon, huge, ending in snaky twine. Our babe, to show his godhead true, can in his swaddling bands control the damned crew. Yes, that little infant can do it. And Typhon is most interesting because this is almost a Lovecraftian god of huge mass of tentacles that end in snaky twine, as the poet says. But there's nothing really in the middle of it. Or is there? There are actual creatures like that on Earth. And then there's no brain in the middle, just a mass of tentacles. But you know what? Like jellyfish, they now think maybe the brain is there, but it's just spread throughout the body, like it is in octopuses, and they're super smart. And we always think everything else is as dumb as us.
Yeah.
Dumber. But,
so would that be, Jim Carrey, or, who was dumb and who was dumber?
Was it Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels.
And Jim Carrey?
Right. That's right, yeah.
Did they make a sequel? Like Dumb and Dumberer or something?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one. It witty and funny or a painful embarrassment to watch?
You know, it's okay. You know, it passes. It's not terribly lame or whatever, but it's like it.
It's good kind of humor.
Yeah, it's there to service like a kind of a mild like romance.
Well, the way to do it, the way I would do it, would be play everything absolutely straight except them. Make the world that they operate in super realistic and the people's reactions, you know, but...
Right. Yeah, it's the take. It's like, oh, they're having a comedy moment, and then they take to the gaping, like, you know, oh, you know, like, what's happening? You know, this is how I'm This is the this is how you consume comedy.
Whatever works, you know, yeah. Whatever gets the laughs, the yucks. I go for the yucks, you know what I mean?
They just put it right on the movie poster. You know, the characters will have that kind of shocked disbelief face.
What the?
And then that's... It's like, hey, look, it's a screwball comedy with the... What? face.
With the dimwit.
What the hell is going on?
America's most lovable doofuses.
Yeah, the...
Performing for you in stupidovision and stupidation. With new dumbfoundatron, the miracle substance. But...
Who are the Dolts, and why are they so stupid?
Well, there's Jack Dolt. He's a good family man. But don't forget Marge and her curvaceous daughter, Madge. Hours of humor will devolve from that sort. Then there's little Bud and the wisecracking, incredibly irritating Sis, the smallest of the Dolt clan. Sis Dolt.
I'm just Dolting.
Nuts and Dolts, as it were. Here, I'm keeping the Pedro tradition alive.
Yeah, sometimes when you smoke it wrong, the spirit of Pedro appears.
To chastise you for smoking it wrong, huh?
Yeah. And been watching since the afterlife, and, time moves a lot slower over here, but...
Can still watch the screen and see all this great stuff happening.
Yeah. Shade, play the movie of life. I'm sorry, Lord, it doesn't work. Or, what are they... open the Book of Life.
It's a rerun season. The movie. Open the Book of Life. Does this movie appear in the Book of Life?
No, they show the movie... And then they show what a sinner he is.
Oh, yes. The movie of every bad thing you ever did that the whole universe watches and shames you while you squirm standing next to the angel, both facing
that
the
sinner's movie on top
giant,
of it.
Faceless, light bulb-like 200-foot Jesus on a white throne, which is mentioned. And it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. But yeah. According to eminent religious authority, Jack T. Chick, everybody who goes there is guilty.
Exactly.
It's a show trial. You know, they ask them again and again, does his name appear in the Book of Life? And the angel is pointing at a line in this immense book. No, Lord, his name does not appear.
Yeah.
And then it is my sad duty to say, really, right. He starts out mild about how I hate to do this to you, but I have no other choice. I made the rules. I have to obey them. And so into outer darkness and the eternal fire. You have to go through this hole in the corner of the throne room, out of which a suspicious plume of smoke is emanating.
Oh, you just, yeah.
And then an angel, like the one that came and grabbed you in the beginning of the process, takes you, only it takes you to the end of an off-ramp, and he tosses you into the lake of fire.
Alley-oop.
As I illustrated in that comic book that I did, that's according to, all the religious authorities. Although I had my angel saying, alley-oop. As he threw the guy. And then he lands right next to Hitler, you know, and splashes him with fire. And Hitler says, ach, quit their splashing.
Have you ever seen the movie Little Nicky?
Yes.
Yeah. That is a Hitler in Hell scene.
I liked the movie. And I liked Harvey Keitel as Satan.
Yeah, he was great. and he's just a mouth. He's, oh, I'm disappearing, like and then there Marty was McFly's parents. Or
the scene with, and now beloved movie brother. Actor Henry Winkler will be stung by 1,000 bees. Bzzz, you know, and he gestures, you know, like, I'm still all right. You know, sting him again.
Me and my baby.
Henry Winkler, covered in bees.
Well, recently they had, what's her name, covered in bees, you know, John Voight's daughter, she was covered in bees.
Angelina Jolie.
Yes, I was getting caught up on Angelique Pettyjohn. I knew it wasn't that. Angelina Jolie.
Petty Jolie, yeah.
She was animated in the nude and with a tail in the Beowulf movie.
Yeah, she was one of the better.
Yeah.
Her and the... had to be Hopkins.
Except that they get everything wrong, but it's still an interesting movie.
I don't want your money, baby.
Grendel's mom is supposed to be an unbearably hideous hag, semi-human, who can breathe water, you know, lives at the bottom of the lake, and instead you get this gorgeous nude, what's her name? Angelica. No, not Angelica.
Angelica Houston. Houston, yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't her. Anyway, she's nice, but she's gold in color, and then right at the coccygeal area, the backbone goes on into a tail, a looping tail that goes on and on forever, goes into the distance.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, maybe, you know, they'll follow the tail and it'll turn out that it comes out of the body of this unspeakable thing, which is Grendel's mother. But no, they never did that. Beowulf has to kill Grendel's mother, and he has to kill Grendel. And later on, he has to kill the dragon, but the dragon kills him. And it was all rendered in computer animation. With Anthony Hopkins as Hrothgar. But I didn't like it because the emphasis was all wrong by this Neil Gaiman character whose work I never liked, but everybody likes it, but I didn't like it. And now he's been exposed as somebody who hugged women too hard or whatever, you know, completely dishonored. Nobody puts his books in the, you know, but I don't, you know, I always thought he's taking everything and twisting it into some virtue signaling pose, which has nothing to do with the original. Like, Grendel is rendering vengeance on Hrothgar and his people because they were bad to him. No, not so. Grendel, by the way, was, he was played by,
Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover, yeah. That was an amazing portrayal, you know, because he's not only this monster who tears off people's heads, but a whining monster, you know, whining about how everything's unfair, you know. And Crispin Glover was good cast for that monster.
It's sparse language, you know, you hear some...
Have you seen a film called Flow?
Yeah, I brought it to the station, or Melodio, rather, last week.
Oh, really? I don't recall seeing it.
Oh, I was playing it at the last...
Cool. Well, I must have... Maybe I fell asleep.
It was like at 3 o'clock in the morning, so we were cutting it off before it was even over.
Because I am told that this is the most marvelous movie ever, but I can't be told anything about it because that would ruin it, so...
Oh, it's great.
All right, really, now great. That confirms what everyone else is saying.
Yeah.
It is great, but... you know, it would be a spoiler even to tell me what the hell it was about.
Yeah.
So,
but it's just at the end of one. Like, you, people maybe I didn't know anything about it, and I watched it and I really liked it. So,
Jet forwarded me a movie called something like They Call Me Jijin or something like that. Do you know that one?
No.
It's about, I think, Italian. Maybe not. It's about this guy. The criminals want to kill him, and he jumps into the Tiber River, and toxic sludge covers him, you know, and he comes out, and it turns out that he does have superpowers, but, you know, on a more believable level than usual, and he still has to run around and tussle with the criminals, but he somehow, you know, gets involved with a woman who has absolute perfect faith in that he can do all these things, so he always ends up doing them, and what do you know, they work. So I can forward you that. You can watch it for free.
For free. Yeah, I got a bunch of movies that were gifted to me. That there's probably about 20 that I haven't even watched yet.
That would be nifty.
And I've only scratched the surface of those Kay Gordon Murray. There's like a stack of those.
They are stupefyingly boring and scary at the same time. Maybe it was the heavy dubbing into English, or the drizzly music and the slow cinematography that plays. But on the other hand,
playing it without the sound.
On the other side of the camera, it really seems as if they believe vampires and werewolves exist and so forth. And this is the way they're going to reproduce them in this movie they're making. And that kind of recommends them. My sister and I used to watch them back in Tucson, Arizona, on Dr. Scar's chiller double feature on Saturday night. And the second one was often one of these Mexican vampire movies. You can't run around no more. And what's the one where the mummy can turn into a tarantula? Wrestling Women versus
the
Aztec Mummy. Yes, yeah. Yes. That's an amazing one. Or The Brainiac. Seen that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a tongue that is like it's like
a
vampire teeth.
Tongue,
right?
Yeah, with the teeth on the end, but it's he has a sort of a pinata-like appearance. Yeah. But the brains look quite realistic. The brains that he keeps in a silver chalice inside an intricately carved Mexican chest, you may remember. He opens it up and he takes a long spoon and enjoys human brains. Man, they don't make them like that anymore. That's what I call entertainment.
Chilled monkey brains was the final straw for the Temple of Doom, table scene.
Yes, well, it's sort of mean to do that to the Indian people who on the subcontinent are particularly anxious to be vegetarians and not to eat the sacred cows and so forth. But this was an aberrant offshoot. Eating the live monkey brain did exist, but it was not in India. It was I'm not talking on the radio. I can't say exactly when it was. I was going to say China, but it might be in Southeast Asia, as it were. Meh, they would do that, see?
I think it was just to show they were evil adjacent.
They ate bugs.
That's right, yeah.
All these things are forbidden by the law of the Lord. Like, for example, where Jews aren't supposed to eat lobster and things like that.
Just their proximity to Kali was the bead, maybe, right? Watch out there, man! But, like, the British came in at the end. Like, the guy that was Delbert Grady from The Shining. Got the
madman blue. Scatman Crothers. He came to Tucson. I forget what we did with him, but he was performing with a group that I was involved in, where I wrote shows that we put on for kids and playlets and musicals and so on. And we had Scatman at one time.
Oh yeah.
Yes. He really tried to pick up the women, there.
I've never seen a lovelier lady.
Yeah, his rap was sort of like that. And somebody else who does that, I'm gossiping about people. But I don't think in this next case, I'm not saying anything anyone in Hollywood doesn't know, and that is James Hong. Is a real horn dog.
Oh, really?
Among character actors.
Oh, he's
yes.
great.
But he is great. Yeah. I love him in Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah. I saw him in a movie that was earlier. It may have been 70s. I don't know.
Yes, he's in a lot of things. You know, they need a sinister Chinese guy. That's who they call.
Yeah. And then he was in Everything Everywhere, right?
I still haven't seen that one. Was he in The Golden Child with Eddie Murphy?
I think
that's the sort of thing where he would pop up.
That was pretty close to Big Trouble.
Yes, well, it had all that great stop-motion animation in it.
Take this letter down. You never could beat me, action.
Looks like VJ is planning to listen to Reloadio, so now we have to do it.
Yeah. It's out of our hands now.
They just poisoned that studio, and she might even do something to keep the cat from coming downstairs. I say we should go for it.
I don't think the cat ever goes downstairs. I think the whole thing is like you close the door.
I've seen Charlie come in holding the cat in their arms.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I never saw that before.
Came to the door, at any rate. And you remember when she came and they and I talked about paleontology.
Oh, yeah, that was great. I was always thinking, like, there should be a part two to that series.
Well, I didn't know whether or not I was frustrating you and Doug, but I thought as long as they wanted to do it,
was feeling weird about it.
Yes, he doesn't like to be silenced, even if you have to turn him down for a second to make an announcement or something. He gets peeved because did he not come to give of himself, and now you're refusing his gift.
Right.
Maybe everybody could use an editor, as some people say, but then who's going to do that job? You're going to edit me? Well, yeah, sure. They'd like you more if you were less. Believe me, this is a professional opinion.
I'm the Willie Loman of radio. Yeah.
Right. The important thing is to be well liked, son.
You see my baby.
Well, I'm really glad you came in. Really makes the show better when you.
Yeah, I didn't know if Chet was going to hang around or if it was a solo deal or. Is it time to go or, like, what time is it?
Not yet. I might actually close down a little early and play records as I sometimes do just to get it cleaned up because. When we're through at Dermophilia, they'll take me here in the car, but I have to run in and grab the bag, which is already loaded. I can't make them wait while I put a million CDs away, and they have to be put back in their jewel cases anyway. All this stuff from, it's not on the cloud, recorded shows of the past. As far as I know, it's not.
Oh, Lord, Lord. I need my own cloud. And then I can just tell people to get off of it, you know.
MyCloud.com.
Hey, you.
I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
How did you come by that?
That's People Like Us, Vicki Bennett's newish record.
Oh, I thought that was great. Have you seen her recently?
No, I think I saw her a couple of years ago. But what she should do, and I think maybe it's a thing, is to have another like movie or projection presentation. Did you see The Thing of the Gray Area?
Was that the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No, it was like you're surrounded on, like, there's four walls.
No, I didn't see that. That sounds pretty damn interesting.
It was fucking great, and I was smitten, and I loved it, I think there's going to be another one of those, but maybe that's just me being dyslexic and admiration.
I hope they made some of their money back at whatever they could do on show like that. That sounds great.
It was a cool thing. I saw it three times, you know, from different from different seats, you know,
what
so like
fun.
You could see different stuff.
So it ran three nights then?
Well, I think it ran like for 2 weeks maybe.
Oh, great.
But yeah, it was the Gray Area's cinema something. It was like a cinema box, you know, and you sat in it and they had a, you know, and it sounded great too. I mean, it was a lot of
good acoustics.
Yeah,
I laid alone, yeah, thinking about you. No one but you. But someday, babe, you ain't gonna worry my life anymore.
Here you go.
You see this?
This is my story. All I got to say to you, yeah.
Who made this?
I don't know, but Doug sent it to me.
Nice.
For someday, babe, you ain't gonna worry my life anymore.
A princely deed. Kind of looks like 2001 a little bit.
Well, people ask me if, don't you hate the what AI is doing to your art, but I don't mind at all because the art already exists and they take a picture of it and they animate that.
Right.
Some of it I didn't like. AI was making ludicrous mistakes. So they call it hallucinating, you know. I threw those away for the most part.
I guess the worry is that you'll not do original stuff and AI will replace it and then the...
Or that the... stuff that's done by AI becomes the property of AI, and now they own your thing, except they, in this case, it's a picture of something that is in my possession, but maybe I wouldn't be allowed to sell it in the wonderful new AI world.
Well, you keep it in a special wallet or something, you know, like you pay for the wallet.
But I'm talking about not the digital thing, but the real thing that the digital thing is a picture of. You see, like all those
But that's, they would be kept in these digital wallets, you know, and that's how you would, you know, access, you would have access to the wallet because you paid for the wallet, you know, and that was...
Sorry, wallet payment only.
Babe, I want to come back home.
So, you know, you can scroll them on your screen, but they may, then they may be transferable. Like if you send somebody a text, like, Doug sent me a picture of who it is. So that was probably a, you know, a linkable image.
Does this get too bitter as it gets shorter?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. It isn't unpleasant, though.
It'll get you there. Just the same.
Ooh, babe. Baby, just I miss you so.
The ball now question makes of eyes or nose, or actually I say yays or noes, but here or there as strikes the player goes, and he that tossed you down into the field, he knows about it all. He knows. He knows. But helpless pieces of the games he plays upon his checkerboard of nights and days, hither or thither moves and checks and slays, then one by one, back in the box he lays. I say that, although the translation is... from Fitzgerald is back in the closet lays. But you know, when you're reciting a poem in public and you say back in the closet, that turns people to a specific thing that's not a part of the poem that you're doing. So back in the box is what is meant. The translation from the ancient Persian. Yes, sir.
That's why all my poetry is trigger words.
Yes, write a poem about Roy Rogers' horse Trigger. Trigger a lot of people. And it
That's
should.
That's right. I said that.
It should, because the Trump people are trying to hunt down and kill all the wild horses in the West at the present time. They want to expand it for big ranches and like that, like the Bundys. They're good friends. And wild horses forage in place where which could be used to raise the beef critters. And people have been hunting them and capturing them for dog food for years.
Or an apple fritter.
Frittering away the time of honest American businessmen. Or they could shoot them from helicopters like Sarah Palin shoots wolves. Unbelievable how the Trump people made it a thing to go into caves and kill the bear cubs and so forth. And that does prevent bears from being in the area. What the alarm?
That's the disco alert. They're really getting funky next door.
Why I oughta.
Disco police, move aside.
Disco police, eh? That would be the authority arm of the rolling disco devils. Only they would now have the force of law and not be wild or anarchic.
What was the,
Wasn't it the Hulk versus the Rolling Disco Devil?
That's right, yeah. Because they were terrorizing the streets with their skating and their loud music. And
the kids couldn't go out and play. They looked out of the windows of their brownstones longingly at the streets occupied by these huge guys with clenched teeth holding boom boxes, you know,
like what's
roller
name?
Skating down the.
Who was the guy? He said,
well, they all had clenched teeth
Russ
in the Marvel
movies.
Charles Napier.
Yeah, it was like a Charles Napier type.
Well, they almost resembled the Hulk himself or itself, sometimes with the floppy banged hairstyle and so on.
Yeah, rock. that one and Thor and the
Rock Around the Clock.
The Ma and Pa. Who was the family? The Ding-a-lings or something like that?
The Ding-a-ling family.
Yeah.
Somehow, through an accident of time and space, a trailer full of hillbillies has ended up in Asgard.
And they have atomic shotguns because they're
right.
In space.
Yeah, they're space hillbillies, and they are somehow in the realm of heroes, Asgard, from whence comes Thor, son of Odin, and his brother Loki. But anyway, not to get into that. The place is... Oh, there it is. You called it up from the vasty deep. Let's get them all, kin. Capture them all, or our name's not Ding-a-ling. The Ding-a-ling family. One thinks of Chuck Berry's My Ding-a-ling. But at this time, the Ask Dr. Hal show tends to end. It's Bobcast Day on Listener Confounded Radio Valencia. The Ask Dr. Hal show is a product of the Church of the Subgenius and of Amalgamated Radio Hosts. Listen to our other productions. And in particular, we have resolved that we will try the potentially flea-infested Relodio tomorrow night. Saturday. That is, events will proceed as they usually do. Monotony will be restored, which is actually a restful, valuable thing. It has only been calumniated as boring by people who want you to rush around and buy things. A special thanks to our in-studio visitor, K-Rob, who brought some human conversation into what would otherwise be the same monologue as ever. And so, on behalf of the Ask Dr. Hal Show and all associated people, I wish you good night and good morning.